Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
I guess the big story of the day is... Chad Brown's in for Alfred. It's great to have you here. First, let's welcome Chad.
Here I am.
Chad coming in.
Yes, here I is.
Here he is to save the
day.
Here
I is.
The thing that confounds me is, despite the just absurd amount of time that I spend trying to explain myself, it just didn't hit the mark with, like, anybody, with, like, a lot of listeners, with other hosts here on this radio station. I just couldn't put it into words to make people understand what I was talking about.
Is this Festivus? Is this the airing of the grievances?
That's right. We're going to dance around the pole in a little bit.
The aluminum pole.
Airing of the grievances. What else do you do in Festivus? Don't you hit somebody or something? Or is there no physical contact in Festivus?
I know there's a pole. I know there's airing of the grievances. I'm not sure if Fred Costanza, or is it Fred or Frank?
Frank.
If Frank Costanza lays out any of the other Festivus traditions.
Maybe not. Maybe it's just those two things, huh?
Yeah.
Is there sharing of gifts or maybe not?
Mm.
There's a poll and there's airing of grievances.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're going down the airing of the grievances route.
I guess so.
And what's your grievance, my friend?
Well, it's just that I'm listening to the Zokley show.
Okay.
And they're good guys for the most part. And
what a great compliment.
No, I like those guys. They're cool dudes. But the concept that I just wanted anybody, it didn't matter. I was flip-flopping all over the place in terms of quarterbacks is just so absurdly wrong.
Flip-flopper.
And yeah. I just did a poor job trying to explain where my head was at. Mm-hmm. Even though we came up with the Trubisky-Glennon doctrine.
Flip-flopper.
That you may have actually been here when that might have been me and you doing a show together when we came up with the word doctrine for...
I believe that was us,
the
yes.
And even though it really wasn't the first sort of situation, it kind of came around more with the Eagles the first time around, meaning you get a veteran, you get a young guy, and you kind of go from there.
Feats of strength. And Festivus is not over until George pins Frank.
Feats of strength. We won't be doing that on this show, or unless it's you pinning me, and I don't know why anybody would want to see that. It'd be over quickly, trust me. Festivus would be wrapping up soon. So the concept is, you know, Al has now all of a sudden buyer's remorse. And Al's like, you know, now I wish we had Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't feel like that when we were sitting at that, you know, at that wonderful bar on draft night.
Oh, yeah!
Does that sound like regret?
Not at all. It sounds... I don't need to hear that drop again.
We need to hear that a lot more often.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
No, that's a well-needed drop. I think it became more just about proving me wrong rather than the logic of the pick itself.
Okay, so...
That's what it felt like, at least. And when I'm listening to Zokley and they're correctly critiquing Mike Evans for not having any dog in the hunt. Like, Mike is the most ridiculous. The khaki pants wearer is the king of not committing to anything. Because he doesn't like Trevor Siemian. He doesn't like Paxton Lynch. He doesn't like Case Keenum. He doesn't like any of the quarterbacks. He doesn't like anybody.
I like legal weed.
Well, aside from that, I'm not sure exactly what Mike Evans is into.
All right, so Mike Evans likes no one.
Nobody.
Okay,
what
about Stink?
I think he's okay with Keenum.
I'm a condescending turd.
I mean, they backed themselves into a corner about the quarterback situation. So, because the concept that they would just take, the Broncos were going to take somebody 2 through 7 was just, I mean, I told you a million times it was absurd. It was just never going to happen. And it didn't happen.
All right, so we got Mike, we got Stink. are Zach and Stoke, are they of one mind?
Well, they're the more idiotic point of view in terms of my three guys are Darnold, Saquon Barkley, and another position player. Chubb, I guess. I don't know.
Weren't they heavy on the guard?
You know, Quentin Nelson, Darnold, a partridge in a pear tree. And like I said to him on the way out, you can't be a little bit pregnant. Either you need a quarterback or you don't need a quarterback. Either you are pregnant or you're not pregnant.
But it's, I only killed him a little bit, Your Honor. I only killed him a little bit.
Right, right, right. He only kind of died. No. No, you can't do it. Either you... It's okay to say my guys were Saquon Barkley, Bradley Chubb, or Quentin Nelson. Okay. I mean, I can sort of go, all right. I mean, if those are your guys, you can see the value of each of those guys. Okay, Saquon Barkley, you got him for 6-7 years like most running backs, but he's going to just be a game changer for you. Okay, great. You got Quentin Nelson. He's going to go in the Hall of Fame. You're going to put him in at guard. You're not going to think about it for the next, like, dozen years. Okay, I get that. Bradley Chubb, I mean, he's, I don't know. If you're running a 4-3 defense, he looks great. Broncos aren't. They run a 3-4. In a 4-3, Bradley Chubb is fantastic. In a 3-4, I don't know what's going to happen with Bradley Chubb. Who knows? He's going to have to learn to play a new position, Chad. Now, you say it's not that big of a deal, so I'll take your word for it.
He's going to have to go backwards. No, if I said it, I certainly didn't mean it as you just said it there. It is not out of the realm of possibility. Guys convert from college defensive end to outside linebacker all the time. The Steelers do that all the time. T.J. Watt's the latest guy, defensive end at Wisconsin, now an outside linebacker with the Steelers. But it's all the Steelers also miss on those picks. And they have this scouting department who knows exactly what they're looking for and exactly what skill sets are going to translate. And even the team that does it the most of any team in the NFL misses on that.
If you think Bradley Chubb is going to be like Von Miller, man, you're just, it's not going to be. He's not going to be as good as Von Miller. I think he'll be good. I think fans can be excited about it, but he's not Von Miller. He's not the same size as Von Miller. He's not the same quickness as Von Miller. He's not Von Miller.
He's bigger.
He is bigger, you know, and
presumably stronger.
You know, we really miss the presence of like Malik Jackson around here, but Malik's much bigger. You know, not much bigger, but I mean, you know, what does Chubb go? 273, 275, something like that.
Right.
And Malik was probably 285, 290, something along those lines.
290 is probably low.
Different type of player, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Inside
different player.
Rusher, outside rusher, completely different skill sets.
So, you know, everybody gets all offended when I say, well, the Broncos just went on auto draft, but they just did go on auto draft. Any fantasy nerd could have done the Broncos draft this year. There was no incredible amount of skill to the Broncos draft. They, Bradley Chubb fell to them, Chad. So what'd they do? They took Bradley Chubb. Cortland Sutton fell to them, so they just took Cortland Sutton. Royce Freeman was available. They needed a running back, so they took Royce Freeman. I mean, it was nothing interesting. They didn't move up for the position. They didn't show any kind of creativity. They didn't do any deals. They just stood pat. And
so,
then just, you know, whoever fell in their lap. They took good guys, though. But
well, isn't it? Wait. You can't just say, well, these guys fell to them as if the Broncos had their blinders on and all of a sudden they got to their pick and they were like, oh my gosh, Cortland Sutton's still there.
That's what it felt like.
But does that make it real? Feel is not real.
I don't know. I mean, there was a reason why I was sitting there 2 minutes before the draft and I said, hey, guys, what about Cortland Sutton for the Broncos to take? And the reason why is I was looking at ESPN.com, best available player, and it was Cortland Sutton.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took Cortland Sutton.
And all that means is they happen to agree with whoever wrote that ticker.
Okay. Listen.
They could have panicked.
I'm done with it. And given
up late round draft capital to move three spots ahead because they were concerned someone was going to steal Cortland Sutton from them. Instead, they read the board, they read the tea leaves well enough, they were able to take and get the guys they wanted. It's two ways to look at that.
If they wanted to do something interesting, they would have moved up into the first round to get Lamar Jackson. Then I would have been tipping my hat to them. That's what the Ravens did. That was interesting.
So you think Lamar Jackson is long term?
I think he's a Cordell Stewart type of player. I think he'll be useful in one area and can morph into a long term quarterback in another area. I think he's going to be a big part of what their future is all about there in Baltimore. Yeah. Hmm. He's a talented guy.
I know there's, you know, lots
he's,
of
men- he's a lot more there's a lot more talent with Lamar Jackson than Cortland Sutton. Overall talent. And again, I've been through this conversation 10 million times. The value of the quarterback is such that it totally dwarfs any other position. Mm-hmm. So if you think you need a quarterback, then how far down do you go on that quarterback list before you get to the next position of importance, where the next position of importance outweighs a quarterback? And it's deep. It's far. And it wasn't just getting Kirk Cousins and being done with it, or just getting Case Keenum. It was getting, it's the Trubisky-Glennon doctrine. You get one of those vets, and then you make an investment in the future. You get both. You fill out your quarterback budget. It wasn't about ever just, in my mind, just getting one guy. But it apparently is, for Mike Evans, it's about getting, I don't know who he wants. I seriously have no clue what that dude wants for a quarterback. And then, you know, Stokely, I love you, pal, but you can't say, I wanted Darnold, I wanted Barkley, and I wanted a partridge in a pear tree.
Please tell me, Big Sexy, you got that for the drop. Please.
So you either want a quarterback or you don't. And to think, okay, I can't get Barkley, I can't get Darnold, but I wanted a quarterback, so now I'm going to take no quarterbacks.
You got to get a quarterback.
If you wanted one in the first place, that's where the Broncos were like, our three favorite players were Sam Darnold, Bradley Chubb, and Saquon Barkley. I mean, I just roll my eyes. I don't even know what to say. You know, they're fibbing to you a tad. What they were going to do and what they were really working on was trading down with the Bills to get 12 and 22. And with 12 and 22, they would have got Vita Vea and maybe, I don't know, maybe Sony Michel or Nick Chubb or Hernandez, right? The guard.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something like that. I would have patted them on the back for that because I'd been like, okay, fine. You weren't bought into this quarterback thing. But to come out and say, oh, yeah, but if Sam Darnold was there, I was like, what? Okay, well, you think the drop-off is that great? From Sam Darnold to Josh Allen or Josh Rosen? Really? Seriously? Do you think it's really that much of a drop? So you think the impact of your team, you can't get Sam Darnold. Now we're not going to take any quarterbacks whatsoever. So we wanted a quarterback, Chad. Like, we were ready to change our complete direction of our team, right? Because we were going to draft Sam Darnold, supposedly. So we were about to just change everything. But now, forget it. We'll just go with Bradley Chubb, and we're not going to draft a quarterback at all because we really believe in Paxton Lynch.
I'm with you from that perspective.
I don't buy it. I don't think they ever wanted a quarterback.
Ever?
No, not really.
So the entire...
Not at the end of the day.
The entire 15 private jet flights was all a smoke show.
It's confounding, isn't it? It's crazy to me. I mean...
Gary Kubiak on the sidelines is all a smoke show.
Apparently... I just don't buy it. I don't buy that they were really ever bought into any quarterback. Because if they were bought into Sam Darnold, they would have seen the drop between Sam Darnold and Josh Allen and Josh Rosen. What was not that steep. I mean, I like Sam Darnold a lot, too. I think he's going to be a great player in a couple years. But I in no way think, like, the drop-off from Darnold to... The drop between Darnold and Rosen and Allen, I don't see Bradley Chubb in between them. They did.
I see a drop-off between those quarterbacks.
But let's be honest. They never thought they were going to get Bradley Chubb. They never, ever thought they were getting Bradley Chubb. They never thought they were going to get him. They thought he would go too high. They thought somebody would...
Really?
No way did they ever really think they were going to get Bradley Chubb.
Now, of course, you know, it's...
You can like him, but when you're on auto-draft, that's what you do. You just, you know, you auto-draft.
I'm not even sure what auto-draft...
Auto-draft means you just take the... Without really thinking about it, you just take that cliche best player available, and that's that. It's like, here's what AutoDraft is. All your buddies can make it to the fantasy draft to have fun, and you have to go clean the garage or something. You can't get out. You can't be there. And then you just say, put me on AutoDraft because I'd still like to be part of this fantasy football thing, but I'm just not man enough to hang out with the boys here that one particular night.
So, wait.
I speak from firsthand experience, and I've got a trophy to prove it. That trophy right there. Fantasy trophy over there, Chad. Was an AutoDraft with Cecil in the league. Beat him twice during the year, including in the championship.
Facts. That says more about Cecil than it says about you. But my point...
AutoDraft championship. You can do good on the AutoDraft. If you go AutoDraft, you're probably going to be all right, you know, to be honest with you.
You are my champion, D-Mac.
Thank you. Because you're not making dumb mistakes. AutoDraft is fine. AutoDraft is fine. It's not very creative. It doesn't show that you have brilliant insight into the world of personnel, but it's okay. It'll get you drafts like the Broncos just got.
Let's just briefly unpack some of these things that you threw out there. They didn't think Bradley Chubb would ever fall to them.
No.
In a draft where there was discussion about the first three, and in some drafts, the first four picks being quarterbacks.
Some, yeah.
Okay. So, in no way did they envision a scenario where Bradley Chubb was going to fall to them.
They literally didn't. He was not there on any of their boards. Ever. Isn't that funny?
I don't believe it for a half a second.
That's what they said.
I don't believe that either.
They're lying about that too?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I don't think Alford was trying to get a draft because you two were doing your mock drafts, and yeah, he was trying to get a draft where Bradley Chubb actually fell to number five, and you were having a hard time doing it as well.
Yeah. We just couldn't see a scenario where that happened.
Anybody who was in the top 10, at some point, the Broncos envisioned taking that guy with the fifth pick. Was he going to be worth it? How was it going to fit with the rest of the team? They discussed all those things. What do you think the personnel department does in the lead up to the draft?
Well, you dismiss the players that you don't think are going to be there. I mean,
No, you don't. Never.
All right.
Never.
But, okay, fine. Hey, Bradley Chubb. Yeah, we like him, but he'll never be there. Well, okay, whatever.
So we're not even going to watch tape on him. We have no idea what we're getting. I'm just going to take the pick because I heard that kid is good.
Yeah.
That's absurd on its face.
I'm sure they did their due diligence on it, but
so what's the difference?
But I think it was minimal. Minimal diligence.
Due diligence
is
not minimal.
He's fine. Bradley Chubb is fine. But my issue isn't with Bradley Chubb.
No, it's got nothing to do with Bradley Chubb. I'm just trying to unpack your framing of this situation as if the Broncos had no idea he could possibly be there. They had no idea what kind of player he was because they did minimal work on him.
Do you think the Browns are going to take Denzel Ward?
What's that got to do with the Broncos taking him in the fifth pick? Bradley Chubb in the
Nobody
fifth pick?
Nobody saw it. Everybody saw a possibility. First of all, the Browns more or less announced Mayfield was going to be their number one guy.
Right.
Like a couple weeks before the draft, if you were really paying attention. So, fine. And then you got the Giants, and they played some hocus pocus, but ultimately they went with Saquon Barkley.
Right.
Which is a little bit of a, hey, we believe in Eli, at least for a year sort of moment. And then the Jets. The Jets.
You knew they were taking a quarterback. There was no doubt about that.
They just couldn't pass. They were definitely taking a quarterback.
Yeah, there was no doubt about that.
Right.
They did the same look at every single quarterback available thing that the Broncos did.
All right, so what if, let's play a little bit of a what-if game, because I'm not a big what-if guy, but what if?
No, your game is to know all the answers and lay out some kind of conspiratorial theory out there.
You're not John Elway. Come on now. Easy. What if the Jets had drafted Rosen? Browns take Denzel Ward. Okay, because I guess that's what their whole thing was going to be. That would leave Darnold and Bradley Chubb up on the board. Now what?
I think you take Sam Darnold.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Rosen or Allen would have been there too.
Yeah, I think so.
You just take Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Okay, now just let's follow the bouncing ball. You just took Sam Darnold. Now what? You keeping Paxton Lynch?
Probably not.
Okay, so we're getting rid of Paxton Lynch. Bye-bye. See ya. Who cares?
Yep.
Trevor's gone too, obviously. We've got Chad Kelly. He'll be our, you know, backup to the backup. Assistant to the assistant general manager. Now what happens in training camp?
Yeah.
Case Keenum and Sam Darnold, right? You probably announce Case Keenum's a starter. You probably do the same thing.
Not probably. You definitely do.
But we're sitting there with the situation that we're prepared for the future, right?
Right.
We're looking pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's looking like, hey, Sam Darnold's young anyways. You know, Keenum's got a 2-year deal. He can prove it. And then we'll see what we got out of Darnold. You yourself said you'd take Darnold.
Yes.
So you yourself would be willing to give up production on the field for the possibility of the future.
Correct.
Okay.
Because, again, my whole point was hopefully the Broncos are never picking with a 5th pick in the draft again.
Right.
Why not seize this opportunity in such a quarterback-rich draft to take the guy that you think can help you out?
So you were willing to give up a couple years of on-field production to see how things would develop and to see how Case Keenum would sort of develop, right?
And at the very worst, I'm hoping for he's Nick Foles. If Case Keenum gets nicked up, I got a guy who I know can more than carry the water and give us wins.
So why isn't Josh Allen and Josh Rosen just like that?
I don't know.
Right, they are.
No, they're not. They weren't as good as Sam Darnold. And Josh Allen certainly
wasn't.
And
that's where we get to our point of contention, I suppose. Where I say they were more than good enough.
I would completely and respectfully disagree.
So was Lamar Jackson as well.
Oh, no, no, no.
More than good enough to take 2 years because you already said you would take a guy for 2 years and see how they develop.
Right.
So you already said you were going to not get on-field production out of a guy for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So what part of I'm not expecting, I'm not counting on-field production out of this guy for 2 years means now the pick becomes a crapshoot. Those two don't equate to me.
What do you mean a crapshoot?
You're now saying, oh, you got 2 years, so then you can take any of these quarterbacks and they'll work out fine. That's a crapshoot philosophy.
No, see, I guess this is where I lose people.
Yeah.
It's not they'll all work out fine, but they're worth the investment and to find out what they're going to be. All of them.
No.
All five of them were worth a 2-year investment to see what they'll be because if they do work out, you are golden for a long, long time. And the quality of those guys, in my opinion, was high enough. It's not that I was picking out anybody. I really felt all five of those guys were worth a 2-year investment to see what's what.
If it's Lamar Jackson.
So you're just writing him off. You're just saying, Lamar Jackson, forget it. He's not worth it. There's no shot.
If it's Lamar Jackson. Or Josh Allen or Bradley Chubb, and then it's the 5th pick in the draft, I'm taking Bradley Chubb.
I know, but that's not consistent with wanting Sam Darnold as well.
Because it's completely consistent because Sam Darnold is a better player than all three of those guys.
So you just don't think with 2 years of development that Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen has a shot?
They're not going to be as good as Sam Darnold would be.
All right. Then there you go. And that's where we disagree then.
Respectfully.
Because I don't think the difference between Darnold, Rosen, Allen, Jackson, and Mayfield, I think they're all good. And that's why I kept referencing the 1983 draft, where you got high-quality players, top and bottom, 6 guys drafted. Some guys better than other 3 Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think this year's draft will prove out to be. But it didn't happen. Chubb, chubb, chubb. I'm on board with what's going on. I don't really believe in Paxton Lynch. I always liked Case Keenum. I liked, you know, what's his face? Kirk Cousins the best for a while, and then he turned out to be kind of a, I don't know, this guy's a weird dude. So I wasn't that disappointed in the end because I don't know what to think about Kirk Cousins. Well, wouldn't surprise me at all if he totally falls on his face there in Minnesota.
I'd be surprised.
Him in his sweater vest. But I like Kirk Cousins coming out of the
picking
draft.
Picking quarterbacks by their fashion choices. D-Mac School of GM-ery.
There you go.
Oh, we can't sign that guy. He's got a sweater vest on. Are you kidding me? You can't be a leader of men in a sweater vest?
It's hard.
Are those boat shoes?
Right.
Oh, man, this is done.
Right. At least you get it. All right, we'll come back. Chad Brown is in. Big 3 is next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
Chad Brown in for Alfred Williams, number one on the Big Three at three, the Rockies. They lost yesterday, but they picked up a win on Saturday that they probably shouldn't have. They were going against the ace of the Mariners, and Kyle Freeland again pitched great, and the Rockies are on a nice little roll despite losing yesterday. Chad, Rockies are only 3.5 games out. All-Star game's coming up in less than a week or so. Where is your head at with the Rockies? Are you buying the Rockies or selling the Rockies at this point?
I'm buying, and it feels odd to say that. I usually put on my negative shades when we talk about the Rockies. I look at life through a negative lens with them, just because, you know, you get your hopes up and they are typically crushed. But to now see this team respond a little bit after Nolan's comments last week, I guess there is some fight. Yeah, but in the end, you know, I think the issues with the bullpen are not going to be solved during the season. That's going to be their most likely demise. But if they do find a way to get it done, I'd be rooting for them.
Bongos.
Three!
An AAU basketball game ended in violence on Sunday.
Saw some of the highlights.
Yeah, highlights, low lights, ugly lights.
Yeah.
Chicago's Raw Athletics, they fought with the referees at the Association Tournament Finals in Emerson, Georgia. This keeps coming up. I think maybe it's either reported more or this is just simply just a more frequent occurrence where either fans, parents, or players are turning on the refs. You've been in youth sports for forever.
Yes.
I think you understand how thankless the refereeing, officiating jobs are in youth sports.
Okay. So I guess.
Wait, well, okay. So
I mean, you know, they're not doing it for free, dude. They're getting paid for it.
Yeah, it's $20 a game.
Then don't sign up for it if you don't like the pay of a job.
Because they need... I've had games delayed. I've had games canceled because we could not get officials.
Okay.
So there's a shortage of officials.
Mm-hmm.
This type of situation that we just talked about doesn't make it any better. And nor does saying, well, you got paid. You get paid $20 a game for four hours.
What's your question?
That's not even minimum wage.
What's your comment? What's your...
I'm saying that the officials are, it's a thankless job, and we need to cut these guys at a youth level a break.
Wow, these guys were like, okay, it's youth, I suppose, but it looked more like a teenage game, an AAU game. It wasn't like 9 and 10-year-olds. We're talking about, well, they're I guess, but they're old enough to fight and throw down, so I'm not defending them, but it looked like the referee was as involved with that fight as anybody. Looks like the referee was throwing shots as well. It's a weird video, man. It's I mean, if your point is we should not fight referees, I will inherently agree with you. But that
fair enough. That's
that particular video is disturbing. Like, all right, you're reffing a game. A 17-year-old kid who's 6'5" takes a swing at you. What do you do?
I got to respond back.
I mean, you got to defend yourself at least, right?
In some type of way. Hopefully, I can respond without beating the crap out of the kid.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird video. It's hard to see, like, who starts what, when, that sort of thing.
I'm not even
But I could
interested.
Have sworn I saw a referee throw a punch as well.
I'm not interested in the specifics of the video, but just this seemingly growing trend of physical violence at officials.
Yeah.
At all
Well,
levels.
That's poor. I'll agree with you on that. That's for sure.
All right, bongos.
Bongos.
Three!
Serena Williams, lowest-ranked woman ever to reach the Wimbledon quarterfinals. Chad, if you had to make a choice, and it was watching Serena Williams play tennis or the World Cup semifinal, what would you watch?
Wow.
What is more compelling to you, the World Cup semifinal, which I begin the first one's tomorrow, and then there's another one Wednesday, and I'm not exactly sure when Serena's playing, but it's likely she could be playing around that time. What would you rather be watching?
I'm a fan of all-time greatness. So if I'm going to follow along that line of thinking, then I've got to watch Serena. It makes it more compelling to coming off the birth of her daughter and now competing in the Wimbledon quarterfinals. Yeah, I'm watching Serena because she's an all-time great.
I am watching the World Cup semifinal. despite people think that I hate soccer, which I don't. I played soccer my whole life, and I like compelling competition. I think it's cool what Serena does, but in the end, tennis is almost as boring as soccer. So at the end, I'll watch the competition that matters more, and that'll be the soccer thing. But tennis is pretty brutal, man. Tennis is pretty boring, too.
I disagree.
Yeah, really? It's 3-3 in the first set of the best 3 out of 5 in a men's match, and you're glued?
I'm not glued, but it doesn't mean I'm bored. Just because Casey looked down on my phone doesn't mean I'm bored.
All right, Mongoose. 3! Thank you for the sound effects.
All right, the NFL has added seven rookie officials, and we've also seen some long-term referees bow in the last couple of weeks as well, I believe 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Now you couple that with the NFL's very confusing rules on helmet contact and all those kind of things.
Right.
Do you think this is going to make for a season similar to what we saw with the replacement officials, where we are at home knowing what the correct call is and we see these guys in the field blow it time and time
again? I don't think we're going to know what the rules are for a good chunk of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess no. But I think it could set up a real confusing situation, especially in the first 2 weeks of the season. And the first 2 weeks of the season are always, you know, you never know what you're going to get in the first two. The Broncos look good in the first 2 weeks of the season. You know what I mean? Like, the first 2 weeks of the season, you got to take it in the NFL and just throw it away. It just doesn't matter for the rest of the year. Now teams have film on you. Now they can really see what you look like. And then you kind of go from there, right?
Right.
So I will say I won't make judgments on them, but I think with the combination that the first 2 weeks usually are, plus a lot of new officials, plus a lot of new rules, Chad, the first 2 weeks of this season could be as confusing as we've ever seen in the NFL.
I disagree. I agree with that. I'm sorry. I agree with that. This is set up that way.
Just hold on. Mm-hmm. Don't make any, what I would stress to anybody, Bongos, 3, is don't make any judgments about any teams or anything until week 4. And I would discard almost everything in the first 2 weeks. So it makes the first 2 weeks kind of exciting because you literally don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
But I won't look at any team that's 2-0 or any team that's 0-2 and make any summary judgments about them. It could be meaning something. It could mean nothing at all. Look at the Broncos last year. 2-0, look fantastic, right? Everything's going awesome.
All right, you know? So on Monday, September 17th.
Yeah.
After the Broncos have played Seattle and they've played Oakland.
Yeah.
I'll listen into the show.
Yeah.
And I'll see what kind of hyperbole you're giving out.
Not for me. Oh, I'll be calm.
We'll see.
After 2 weeks last year, stinking Al wanted to give Trevor Siemian multi-million-dollar contract.
Right.
And he was like, whoa. Hey, why should we do it, fellas? Oh. Yeah, we'll get to it next.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Chad Brown in for Alfred. What's up? T-Max, so you're not going to support an American at Wimbledon. Nice. Well, I guess if that's the way you want to look at it, sure. Tennis and golf are on equal level because of the camera and individual sport. Boring. You're probably right. Tennis is way worse than soccer. The camera doesn't even move in tennis. And a much higher skill sport.
We weren't comparing tennis to soccer. It was Serena Williams, the greatest woman tennis player of all time, going for another Wimbledon championship as the lowest ranked player to ever be in this
position. I mean, it's cool, except she's won 23 majors. So, I mean, listen, I like Serena a ton. But I'll watch, what is it, Croatia against Belgium, France against Uruguay.
Yeah, I can DVR that.
I don't know what it is. What's the semifinal of the World Cup?
You're almost there. I mean, you got the teams right.
Close. Did I get them all right?
Yeah.
No, I did not. Seriously, Uruguay?
Croatia beat Russia. I'm sorry. France beat Uruguay.
Yeah, I didn't think they were still
my fault.
So, no, it's
France
it's
and Belgium face off tomorrow.
France and Belgium. Okay.
Croatia and England will take
Croatia and England. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Croatia and England will be Wednesday at noon.
I don't even know when Serena plays next. Maybe a moot
tomorrow
point.
Morning.
It's probably just you could probably watch both.
Tomorrow morning at 7:15.
Yeah, I'm totally rooting for Serena.
You guys totally missed the biggest story of Serena Williams' weekend, though.
What's that?
Her daughter took her first steps on Saturday.
Yeah?
And Serena missed it because she was training for the tournament.
Yeah, big deal.
So she cried about it, tweeted about it.
She cried about it?
She did. She cried about it.
It's first steps, man.
First steps of a first child.
Okay.
You're so heartless, D-Man.
I guess I am. I mean, you know.
It's pretty clear at this point.
First steps. That's a big one? First steps?
Yes. For first-time parent, first steps are very, very big. First words, first steps.
I don't remember either. They both stepped at some point. They both said words at some point. I don't know. I'm just trying to deal.
I bet your wife remembers, though.
I bet she doesn't.
Yeah.
I bet she doesn't. I bet she does not. We're looking for last steps, like last steps in the house when they go move on with the rest of their lives. We're looking for last. We're looking for the last things. The last things may make me cry more than the first things. Hold on a second. Is she so upset? I've been there.
You don't cry. There's a little bit of happiness inside.
What, when the last things happen?
Yeah. Time for you to go. I love you.
I was pretty upset when the kid went off to college, but I don't think I'm done with that. I think I'd be a little like, I love you, pal. Good luck. Have fun. You're the best. See you later.
I mean, he turns around, he has that ugly cry.
I was a little bit of a baby last summer.
At the drop-off day?
Oh, man.
It's coming up for... So, yeah, there's parents out there who...
It was rough.
It's coming up in about, six, 7 weeks?
That's moments.
They'll be doing the drop-off at the college.
Yeah.
The final goodbye.
I did the drop-off at the airport, and then I saw him a couple weeks later. It was just a... I think it was a training camp thing, to be quite honest with you. It was a training camp thing.
You couldn't miss training camp, so you got to drop off.
It was just one of those weird deals. He's got to travel on a Tuesday, you know, and we were going to go there for some other reason 10 days later, or I was going to be there 10 days later. I don't even know. I didn't go there. I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to do the move-in thing.
Because you didn't want to cry.
I didn't want to do that, nor did I want to do any of the work. The move-in thing, I think, is like a mom thing, because you're kind of cleaning up a little bit. Not that guys can't clean up, but it's more like you're arranging things and setting things up. And I think I would have been more or less useless in that entire process.
You don't know where your hamper should go and
all that stuff.
Now,
what's great is he just put all of his stuff in storage, and it's some sort of service where they come and pick it up and then they drop it back off for you. So he came home with like a suitcase, and he'll go back with a suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if my wife and I, either one of us, will go this time. I think we probably just put him on a plane and he can just move into his apartment.
See you, son.
Kinda.
Send me a picture of your apartment when you get there.
He's talking a little bit about wanting to get the car down there, but I don't know. We haven't totally made up our minds on that yet. Yeah, I don't know. No. I don't really know what the point is at this juncture. Does your kid have a car at school?
Not their freshman years.
Up there in Boulder?
No, not their freshman years.
You going to have one this year?
Yes, he will.
Is it his car?
No.
You're giving him a car?
Cars are my cars. I pay for them.
So you're giving him a car?
He can use a car.
How many cars you got?
I have a car that my son uses. It's my car. I pay all the bills for it. I pay the insurance. Something happens to it. I got to fix it.
Yeah. So you're giving him a car. You're just giving your kid a car.
No, he's using my car.
Okay. You don't see the difference, huh?
It's a distinct difference.
Because
I own it.
So if you need that car, he's going to drive down from Boulder and just give it to you?
Yeah.
And then how's he going to get back to Boulder?
Hey, there's RTD, buddy. There's light rail.
Oh, really?
There's lots of
things. Really?
Yes.
Really?
He's caught the bus back to Boulder before.
Really?
It would not be the first.
All right. Little spoiled brat. I just can smell it a little bit from here.
No.
Just a little bit.
No way, man.
What kind of car is it?
It's an Audi.
Okay. Let's see what else the text line is going to say here. What was I going to say to Chad there, Big Sexy? I think I had a point to prove it. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I pass on grass.
The first 2 weeks of the NFL season.
Yeah.
Are so kooky that Alfred and Mark Schlereth both wanted to give. Al loves to say, I wanted to give him $10 million over 2 years, but he didn't say that.
No, he didn't.
He wanted to give him $10 million a year.
Mm-hmm. I was listening.
Yeah. And then when that, you know, became preposterous, Al decided to change what he thought he said, but he couldn't get away from, I mean, you know, there's only so far I'm going to argue with the big guy, I guess, but the truth was after the first 2 weeks, both Stink and both Al wanted to pay for no reason. Like, Trevor was well under contract. There was, you know, you got yourself a little bit of a bargain here, but the two of them wanted to just rip it up for no reason at all and just give him basically like $20 million for no reason, guaranteed.
You played well for 2 weeks. Here you go, bud.
For 2 weeks, he played well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when it comes to Case Keenum, for example, we got to watch ourselves just a little bit. Details with football at 4 next.